Welcome to the Off the Road Again podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Ross.
I wanted you to say I'm the Count.
I'm Count Rossula. I don't know. Man.
One podcast episode. So this is our podcast about anything and everything off-road. It's been a hot minute since Ross and I have been together. Life has gotten very chaotic. We do have... And I apologize for two shows in a row without a guest. That's not our normal MO. Normally, we'll slide one in with the two of us or me and my kids. And then the next episode, we'll definitely have a guest. And we've just had a very chaotic summer. And I mean, so far, we're better than last summer where we took like a 6-week break. So we're doing pretty good. We're keeping our momentum.
Yeah.
But yeah, it has been, I know Ross has been incredibly busy finishing a master's degree, and I have had just kids and home stuff and travel stuff. And
turns out
stuff,
that, that in the US during the summer, things ramp up in chaos, whether you have kids or whether it's just the natural progression of leaving hibernation.
Life.
Yeah, of life. So, yeah.
Or as our buddy down in Texas refers to it, second winter. Texas Dave referred to it as second winter, and I've never forgotten that because even I'm we've been very fortunate in Kansas City. There's only been like two really hot weeks where we're getting upper 90s or like I think we saw triple digits once. And it's been a very weird year for us. The wind has been out of the east a lot, which in kind of the northeast, which means less humidity. It's been weird, Ross.
We could do a whole weather show.
We absolutely could. And we don't need to, because that's not why anyone's turning in to listen to us complain about weather. No. But I will say the hottest week in Kansas City was followed up with the coldest week we ran into and we're in Breckenridge where we were for that podcast episode of if you saw me and the kids, we were wearing long sleeves, we were cold, there were pine trees in the background.
How cold was it?
Lows in the mornings were like upper 30s, lower 40s. And then if we were lucky, it was getting to mid 60s or upper 60s. I think we saw the 70, one day was hot and it was 72.
Wow. Honestly, I mean, we had a couple days where when I woke up and went outside, it was already 80, which I wake up at 5:45. So it's not, I'm not waking up at like lunchtime. So highs in the 70s sounds kind of nice.
Today was in the low 90s and tomorrow's supposed to be miserable. So, and it will be the Saturday we played Sunday, we played Monday, and we've now played Tuesday. Tomorrow will be the fifth day in the row of Little League Baseball.
Oh.
And at least tomorrow night it's at 8 p.m. So the sun will be going down, man, during the game. But
That's prime mosquito and moth and cicada.
If you see me reaching for my leg, I've been scratching bug bites that I got from being the base coach and staying on the field. I was what is happening right now? So
I got annihilated over the weekend by fucking mosquitoes and black flies up in Maine. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, I'll go first because I think mine is funny. We teased on the show that I had something going on and I kind of wanted to be let me see how this is going to work out first.
there were some questions on this one.
So the impetus of the story is I ordered a rooftop tent Lowe's.
From Lowe's. You can get your gardening needs fulfilled and also get camping equipment, apparently.
Right, exactly. I ordered a rooftop tent. It was a great price. I was able to use my Lowe's credit card too, so I even was able to save some money. Nice. You get the options of the saving the 5%, or if you want to do 6 months no interest, that's available to you. So very, very reasonable. And included in that price was free home delivery, which is the other reason I was very stoked about it.
How did you
Lowe's the app, I ordered it through the app and I ordered it on a Thursday or Friday and Lowe's said, hey, following Tuesday at your door. And then I think I ordered it on Thursday because Friday I got a text from an LTL company that was not Tuesday. And I was whoa, hold on. When? And they were maybe the 29th or maybe the 5th.
So,
and the 29th was the only other day we were going to be in town. We were going to be out 31, 2, yeah. 3, 4, 5, and coming back on the 5th.
That's a window right there.
It is a window. So it's about a 5-day window. It said through the text, we'll let you know when it's coming, right? And so I kept checking the text, and the date window kept pushing back. The final date window I saw said July 5th to July 11th, which tonight, as we're recording, is July 11th. It showed up on the 5th as we were driving back from Colorado when we were only like 3 hours into the 10-hour trip. They were like, hey, by the way, it wasn't like it's out for delivery or it's showing up this day. It was, it has arrived. And so there was zero prep.
Yeah, zero that's like warning. Vehicle shipping. It's like, we're going to be there between the 1st and the 10th, and you'll know when the vehicle's in the vicinity when we tell you.
Exactly. So, good news is it showed up on a pallet. Hold on, I got to find the actual image here.
I'm guessing because of the way the story is going that it didn't show up on a pallet, and then they said, by the way, do you have a forklift?
It showed up on a pallet with me still 6.5 hours from the house. So, yeah,
so they had a way.
They just basically dropped it in the driveway. Oh, which one of those do I want? I want to share my screen right now, but I don't know how they're labeled.
How the screens are labeled or how the photos are labeled?
Well, I have two Google photo things open, two tabs open, because I threw all of your stuff. And so, either going to be... Nope, not that one. It does give me a preview, thank God.
There might be very different tags on the show based on what we see here.
Right? So, and please ignore the giant mess in the garage. We've been dealing with some home remodeling.
If you think that is a giant mess, my God. One glimpse into my garage and you would have a panic attack.
So this is how it was on the ground when we showed up. There is a pallet underneath it. My favorite part are the arrows that say like this way up, which is clearly not up right now.
Fragile.
It's definitely fragile. It has just been chaotic. I took pictures of everything because like the box was like scratched in a couple places and just really kind of, and my favorite part of all this is like, it's still sitting in the box. Like we have had
like, no time. We got, yeah.
That was the 5th. And then all that stuff you and I were talking about previously about carpet and flooring and stuff, that's been happening. That happened Thursday, Friday last week. Then baseball tournament started. And so that was
life.
Saturday, Sunday. Monday was the only off day, but I had to work.
So I took the 3rd off. It's like, nobody's going to do it.
Yeah, this was Monday the 10th. So that was
yesterday.
Week later. Okay. Yeah, yesterday.
Okay.
So. It showed up last Wednesday. I haven't done anything with it yet. I did get it vertical, and then we got it slid into the garage, and now it's just kind of sitting there.
And it's going on the LX?
It's going to go on the LX, I think. It's the only one that has a roof rack that's ready for it, and I don't want to drop another amount of cash to like put it on the Sequoia, because Sarah would just be pissed at me all the time if she had to drive around with this tent on the top.
Sequoia rack's probably $1,200 right now.
Yeah, exactly. So if there's somebody wants to work with me on that or the Suburban, hit me up, but... the Suburban I basically have slated for like family hauling highway duty. Like I'm not, I don't think I'm going to do, I took the leveling kit off. I don't think I'm going to put it back on. Like I just,
is that what you took out to Colorado?
Yeah, absolutely. Yakima box on top. I didn't even take pictures of it this time. I was like, this is the most un-car influencer media guy thing ever. Nope. I took pictures of my kids. Nobody wants to see that. Like there was a big troll. I mean, that was it. Like
you'll be able to leverage that a bit by the time we're at show 500 and the Suburban has 250,000 miles on it.
It's got a lot of miles. So
you're getting there.
Yeah. We hiked a little bit while we were out there. We played. And to be honest, we really didn't do much. Like we just kind of chilled in the cold air. There was a hot tub. The kids got in the hot tub every day for their one
clung on to your ability to breathe.
yeah. We were really high up. So
that's every day. That's an altitude. 10.5 for the listeners. That is
the house was at 10,000 feet again.
Yep.
And I know I've documented my issues with staying at 10,000 feet on the show from back in March. So yeah. But the tent has arrived. Ron asked me the other day, he goes, Did you get any pillows with it? And I was like, I have no idea, Ron. I haven't even opened the box. Like,
dude, yeah, Ron, if there are pillows, it's going to be the kind that, like, once upon a time, my brother bought one of those Casper beds, and it shows up in this, like, and then you cut the box open, it goes, and that's the kind of pillows that you have.
Those are my favorite videos to watch, actually, is people opening their mattresses and their mattresses attacking them.
Dude, because I'm like, we didn't really get attacked. We were just shocked by pulling it off the UPS truck when it was like 80 pounds, you know? Like, oh, how heavy can the dog shoot?
Yeah. Which that was the other side of the rooftop tent because we had someone here watching the dog and the bird. And so like Sarah's like, oh, it's fine. She can pull it in the garage when if it shows up early. I was like, it's 285 pounds according to the LTL center. Like,
no, it's not.
That's what that, well, there was a pallet underneath it, so there was some added weight to it.
Pallets are like 40.
Right, so it's like 235 pounds.
Holy is what fuck. It,
yeah, it's a big tent, dude.
That
four,
is...
Four person.
Oh, it's the big boy. It's a,
yeah, I'm not small, and my oldest son is already 6 foot 190, bud. Like,
he's
so for the listeners,
he's bigger than me.
Yeah, it is the Overland Vehicle Systems. It is the Nomadic 4-person, I believe, is what it's called.
Is that the same company as the awning I have?
It might be.
I think it might be.
One of the reasons I pulled the trigger on it is because my buddy who has an Overland Vehicle Systems awning, Brett, was like, "No, dude, I love my awning. It's doing great." So
yeah,
it's like, we'll give it a shot.
I feel like most of these things are pretty good these days.
Yeah.
It was like all the companies that were making questionable stuff have kind of failed through the pandemic surge. It's like, well, wait, this is a pile of shit, you know, and all the good companies are, you know, now charging $3,500 for things. And yeah. Rant switch to be flipped at a point to be.
So anyway. Christ. That's most of my major update. I don't think I need to go into Colorado anymore. It's 5 days straight now, 4 days straight now at the ballpark, and we're going back out again tomorrow night. So the glory of the double elimination tournament. We lost on Sunday, and now we're just playing. They're every game is do or die. So
yeah,
hoping we can withstand. Four more means they win it. Three more means they make the championship and lose. Everything
so else you got to win at least two to have a moderate success.
Yeah.
Man, I couldn't even, I didn't even watch the Home Run Derby. So.
No, I don't, it's boring.
Should probably actually just YouTube some highlights of that.
The Home Run Derby? No, I already watched them today. You're not missing anything.
Oh, no?
No, it was, they guys hit home runs in batting practice settings. It's normal.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough.
There was the story every year is the best story of it is somebody's dad throws to them. Like that's the biggest, like, and the Baltimore Orioles guy's dad threw to him. I will say the only other thing though is he's a switch hitter, and for like the like special time he switched over to the right side and hit bombs out the right side too. So like,
that's
it.
Like, good for him.
The best home run derby moment ever is when the All-Star game was in Kansas City after they redid the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And normally they invite like the one local guy. And we had a guy that could hit home runs sometimes. And I believe it was Robinson Cano of the Yankees was the team captain. And he was like, oh yeah, we're definitely going to put a Royal on there, and then didn't. And so the whole time he was at the plate, the entire stadium booed him and he hit zero home runs. He hit zero.
What year
zero.
Was that? That
2012. You can find highlights of it online. It still exists.
That's amazing.
I was there in person to watch it because I was working as an usher at the time, and it was a magical night.
Oh man!
And then the next night, Justin Verlander gave up like 5 in the first inning, and it was a miserable game. And
That is very un-Verlander like.
Right, but this is like Detroit Tigers Verlander, like before all the good stuff. He was still good, but like
he just surrounded by dog shit. Speaking of pro sports, and this is, we're way off topic here, but Danny Rick back in an F1 seat.
I don't even care about that. I want to talk about Lando going P2.
That was a solid showing. And Piastri P4 too.
I mean, yeah, exactly. Shit. Like,
great race for them.
During my lunch break today, I did watch. I watched part of the race late last night, and then I went and watched, like, you know how they do like the radio clips, like, of all the stuff, and like,
yes, driver's hearing radio recap for the end of the race. Yeah.
Yeah, hearing Lewis, because Lewis was P3, but hearing him say that McLaren is a rocket ship.
Yep.
And then was it George Russell who was P5? And so, like,
it's the same engine.
Right, but like the fact that they couldn't run them down, though. Like, normally Mercedes keeps, like, Mercedes and Ferraris keep that little bit of extra so they can run down there.
True. Lando does have a strong track record of fending off Lewis, though. We'll say that.
Yeah. I would use a British term. I was chuffed. I had a great time watching the race highlight. Dude, Austria, I didn't see anything. I watched more Wimbledon than I did a Formula One while we were out there. So, like, that was just, I don't even like tennis.
Yeah. I still watch every race. Just saying. Like, I am obsessed at this point. It's really deeply unhealthy, and it's been like 20 years, 15 years in the making. But one of the funniest things that Lewis did over the weekend was he was doing the interviews, like the media interviews with the fans, and somebody asked a question about Roscoe, you know, his dog, and he just started laughing. He was like, oh, he woke me up to take a shit at 4 a.m. he said that the whole stage, like, with all of these people in the crowd, and it's just so un Lewis like to say something like, oh man, it's so fucking funny.
That was the other clip I watched today, was Max and Lewis on a stage post race, I believe. And they were asking Max, like, you were really fighting today. You were doing it. And Max, like, starts to list all the things. Mm-hmm. And Lewis, without the micro, like, Max is holding the mic. Lewis's mic is down next to him. And he interrupts and is like, no. None of that was real. And Max is like, what are you talking about? And Lewis is like, you didn't drop the F word for any of it. None of that was real. Those are all, like, fake radio messages that they can then air. Because if it's real, he drops an F-bomb and they can't air it. Like,
yeah. I mean, Max at this point has no reason to say any complaint that Max has on track is like just him, you know, being pretentious,
which I did enjoy him driving into the pit lane wall in the wet.
The best. And did you hear what he said? He said it understeered.
It understeered.
Oh my God. Get your head out of your ass. No, man. It was actually a very entertaining weekend. And then coming into this week, good. I mean, you know, Danny Rick getting the DeVries spot after.
Yeah, but like, poor Nick. We're so far off topic for our off-road show.
Yeah, this is off the Formula One again, apparently.
Yeah.
Poor Nick. He's an F1 driver. He's 2-10 versus his teammate over the first 12 races. He's been warned by Helmut repeatedly that he needs to get his shit together. He spins in quali and practice and everything. Like, who knows what his attitude is, you know, behind.
Well, they unsafe released him in quali too. Like, it was just.
Yeah.
He almost drove, like, into the McLaren. I'd have lost my mind if they'd have ran into the car.
It's more that he doesn't show in race form anything that looks like competitive pace. You know, he's getting blown away, like, by the fucking Williams guys sometimes. And
it's like, I'm not surprised if Albon would be back in a AlphaTauri. I hear, spoiler alert, I know silly season's coming up, so Checo's out the main with
no,
RBR.
No,
yeah, Checo. No. Hey, just said, this is my theory. Let me spout it out. Like, you can tell me your actual.
This is on the record. Okay.
Yep. So Checo will be out. RBR. Danny Rick will get elevated back up because that was the most competitive Red Bull ever was with Max and Danny Rick at Red Bull. I don't care. Max is now established. It's not going to hurt his feelings if Danny Rick comes back. They have a solid number two all the time. Don't get me wrong. I think Checo's a great driver. He always gets more out of his tires than he should, except for the fact that he ruined Kimi Raikkonen's race at Monaco like forever ago, and I freaking hated him ever since then because he like cut Kimi's tire. Kimi was like. I want to say he was like P6. Checo cut his tire. Kimi got new tires and then went from like P13 to P9 or P10 in like three laps. It was a ridiculous race.
Period of trying to deeply overdo what he was capable of.
It was his Roman Grosjean period. So, like, things broke sometimes. Roman was scary, but like early Roman was terrifying. Lotus Roman was terrifying.
Have walls, okay. Have anything will crash.
Yeah, so back to, so Checo's out, Danny Ric in. I think Albon will go back to AlphaTauri. They'll put him back in the younger team because he's fast if the car's fast. He wasn't terrible at Red Bull. Like, I would have left them alone, but they wanted whatever they do. They get paid way more than I do.
Yeah.
Right. So, but have him sit there. Let him go P8 a Williams. Like, wouldn't it be better to have him in AlphaTauri going up? Like,
I'm going to disagree with all of this.
That's fine. It's all dumb, and I am like, not an F1 pundit.
I think the thing about Checo is that, like, he does terrible in practice and quali, but he always manages to do reasonably well, you know? And until he's consistently out of the points or out of the top five, which he is still proving he can do, I think he still has a seat. And I think Danny Ric's got to prove himself in AT car before they actually bump him.
Yeah, he did get all the way back up to P6. So
it was a drive, man. He was on a freaking charge the whole race. So, anyways.
And also, I think Lance Stroll is a madman. So that's just me.
I love Lance Stroll. I know he's in it almost exclusively because daddy funds the gig.
Yeah.
But he is a fun driver to watch, in my opinion, because he just goes for it.
So, absolutely. Okay. Let's talk about Maine.
Yeah. Okay. We are way out in the weeds. Okay. Well, all right. So let's go back a little bit first. So first was the Hellcat Durango.
Okay.
So we took the Hellcat Durango down to the Jersey Shore for a weekend.
How many fuel stops?
On the way down, zero, actually, believe it or not. Oh. So this was the weekend of the 4th. The 4th obviously being a Tuesday, and I can't see anything on your screen except the black.
Neither can I.
So we have a thing. This is how the weekend went. We had the car loaded up, the Durango loaded up. We were like locked and loaded, ready to go. And Sam turned on the hot water, I think to brush Daisy's teeth or something before we got in the car. And we both heard like an explosion from under us. And like she turned the water back off. And then after 5 seconds, she looked at me and just said, "I hear running water." So I ran downstairs and there was just like waterfall from the hot water heater. So
at least it was downstairs. I will say that.
Yes, this is true. It was in the basement. And so the trip with the Durango got delayed by about 24 hours. We went over to my parents' house and stayed there instead. I took my dad and my brother for a ride in this thing. And then we trekked down to the Jersey Shore. I think we put probably 700 miles on it. And man,
so it is the Hellcat version, right?
It is the Hellcat version. Yeah. Jesus. And it is. So, you know, it's the same chassis as the WK2 Grand Cherokee, but it's longer.
Okay.
But somehow it like drives the same size, if not even a little bit smaller. You sit a little lower and the sight lines are a little bit different. But it, by having the longer wheelbase, it feels like it almost has like a more rear bias to the platform.
Okay.
And the Hellcat aspect of it is just so silly. It's so good. I mean, we averaged, I think, just shy of 14 miles per gallon over the 700 miles, which given 710 horsepower, whatever it is, you know, amazing.
That's some highway miles, right? Like,
yeah, we did some cruising. And there,
those are suburban city miles.
No, I mean, the stuff locally, obviously, I live in a city at Stopco, and with my dad and my brother, I was just doing blasts. But as a cruiser, like, it is so effortless and the ride quality is so good. Like, it is, for so long, you know, you hear like the guys on Smoking Tire and Glucker and all them talking about how like the Durango drives so much better than it should. And
yeah,
putting miles on this thing is like, it is the fact that it's like a 15-year-old chassis at this point. It is remarkable. It is so comfortable and so good at everything. And it's like that perfect blend, like that overlap point between where things were still kind of analog, but like it's got a nice screen, you know?
Yeah.
It was great. And like my only complaints about it were it needs a dual mode exhaust. Like it's too fucking loud.
It's really loud.
Dude, I mean, the Supercharger
not Escalade V.
The thing is, the Escalade V quiets down on the highway. The Durango is always at full kill. Like,
okay.
It's doing 2,200 RPM at 70 miles per hour, too, which is like, it needs to be geared down a little bit. It's, yeah, it would, if they extended 7th and 8th a little bit, it would do a lot better. And it's not like it needs, you know, it's 180 mile per hour SUV. It doesn't need to be.
Right.
But
dude, my only experience with one was on Road America, and it was an absolute giggle fest.
Yeah.
My favorite part of it was the right seater. Like I did have an employee from Stellantis in the vehicle with me, coaching me through it. This is like a year and a half ago, and it scared the crap out of me because how fast it was and how elevated I felt, because everything I'd had on track previous to that was a BRZ, Supra, a Lexus ISF, like things that are short and low to the ground. And here I am going like, oh, I can see over the barrier walls now. Like that's a little.
Yeah. It's great though. Like it drives like something much smaller, you know, and sportier than it actually is. But then you're like, you're going around a corner. Like I was going around corners locally that I, you know, take at speed in like sports cars. And I was like, wait a second. This thing weighs like 5,600 pounds.
Exactly. It's really good. It's really, really good.
Great, great, great road trip vehicle.
Just
amazing air conditioning, unbelievably hot. Yeah, the gas, obviously, like gas mileage is going to be terrible. But yeah, such a good thing. Like, if I wasn't so into the off-roading stuff, and if I had like my house's down payment worth of money to spend on a on a daily, like it would be up there. I don't know what else I've driven for $100,000 that's as much fun, you know? Like
yeah,
it's just a good time. You know, it's comfortable. The backup camera quality and the quality of like the digital cluster in the gauge pod is abysmal, and feels like 2010, but it's,
I mean,
yeah, dude.
It's a car developed in 2010, so.
Hellcat Durango, like, and I imagine the Trackhawk as well, like, it's so good. It's such a moment in time car, too. Like, you know, this won't happen again. What else? Okay, so that's the Durango. That left end was swapped out for the Kia EV6 GT, which Doug also posted a video review of like today.
Yeah.
So yeah, probably not the same car, but being that is the press launch and media color, it's, you know,
it's red.
Imagine an EV6 really fucking fast. And instead of having like comfortable, you know, normal car seats, it's got like contoured deep buckets.
Oh no.
Yeah, it rides a little stiff. The range, I'm not going to bullshit anybody. I don't know the specifics of this thing, you know, the way I should. It is, so I had the Durango Hellcat, which is a 700 something horsepower.
Yeah.
710, you know, it does 0 to 60 in like the mid to high threes. And then I also had this Raptor R for the trip to Maine, and the acceleration in the EV6 GT. And, you know, there's no question that part of it is aided by the fact that it's an EV and it's
right.
You know,
yeah. There's instant torque. Yeah.
Instant torque. There's no delays and shifts and all that stuff. And it's silent except for like the fucking Star Trek noises. But it is just on that fringe line between like you're okay with the G-forces and they become completely nauseating. If you do the it's the GT button. There's a button on the steering wheel that's the same color as the brake calipers.
Okay.
And if you do like a launch, like it's uncomfortable. It's not pleasant. It's not fun.
Okay.
Like, you know, I did two launches in this thing. And after 10 seconds afterwards, I was like, I'm good. I don't need to do it again. It's not enjoyable. It's so fucking fast that like any sane person can understand that it's just, we've crested that point of like normalcy, you know,
it's a competent battery electric vehicle that has now moved into the realm of party trick.
Yes.
Hey, watch what I can do. And you show your friends once, and then your friends don't want to do it anymore because it's nauseating. Like, it's that extreme of an acceleration.
Yes, and I will say that, you know, that party trick extends because it has that torque from the mid-range, and this thing actually, I don't know what it weighs, but it corners reasonably well, and it probably has the best steering feel of any EV I've driven. And at this point, I mean, small, you know, sample size here of 10 or whatever. But it drives really well. You know, the whole Kia experience in the EV world is really good. But I like, I know it sounds so like, so not snobby, but like antithesis to everything that we're supposed to say, but I don't enjoy those full hard launches when cars are that fast and so
Jag racing isn't for everybody. You're okay.
Yeah, it's just, it's like, it makes my head hurt, honestly. Like, it fucks up my equilibrium.
Definitely.
So, anyway, so that leaves,
Let's talk about the best one.
Yeah, okay, best one. Ford F-150 Raptor R.
Woohoo!
Yeah, so the Raptor R was here. I took it up to Maine, to the Rangeley area for an ATV trip, which as soon as I got in the truck to leave, I was wondering why we do this trip in the middle of July. The beginning of July. Dude, it was 94 degrees in the shade when I got up there, and it was like
in Maine
and like 92% humidity. So we didn't even ride on the first day. It was just, I mean, given it, you know, we got like 3 inches of rain, stormed like crazy, but it was just, we couldn't ride. So the Raptor R. So things we know about it, GT500 engine. It has slightly less travel than the standard EcoBoost Raptor. And the one that I tested was, I think, just over $112,000.
That sounds right.
So that said, I mean, the F-150 fundamentals at this point they're fantastic. You know, the interior's great. Infotainment's great. They still have that huge cut in the front windows, so the visibility is amazing. Back seat space is great. Front seat comfort is great. Yeah.
Huge back seat.
And, you know, the Raptor has gotten to be so phenomenal that it is leading the category that it created. You know, like there's the TRX, obviously, but that's a showcase of what the Hellcat engine can do in something that is meant to take on high-speed off-roading. The Raptor is just, you know, and given I didn't road trip the TRX, but I drove it around my town, like the city I live in, and I drove the Raptor in the same circumstances, and the Raptor is just so much more pleasurable to use in every circumstance. And like, it just has like the T-Rex's character is just fuck you all the time. Like, you know, like violence and, And it rides like that too. It rides like stiff and it's abusive and it feels obnoxious and irresponsible. And the Raptor Bones, like, it rides better than an Escalade if you put it in, you know, normal soft mode.
I absolutely love a Raptor. I think it's reasonably sized, which sounds hilarious.
It's huge, but it feels normal.
Yeah, and the TRX is absolutely massive. Yep. The only time I drove one, I was at that with another gentleman who was a very large gentleman, and that we had plenty of space in the TRX because that's how big that truck is.
Yeah.
I'm not a toddler, and so I don't want to listen to the supercharged whine all the time, which I did a video with Zach from Shooting Cars on YouTube, and that was our exact conversation. He's like, "Oh God, I love listening to the whine the whole time," and I was like, "I don't need to hear it after 10 minutes." Like,
dude, that was the Durango Hellcat experience too. Like on the highway, if you go to make a pass from 60 to 70, it's just the whole time.
It's just so much money. The Raptor R is so much money.
The if you go from the base Raptor to the R, it's like a $29,000 jump just to get the engine and all the stuff that comes with it. That's why I'm
on board with our Key and Peele sketch that we were sharing the other day with Camille in our group chat of like the EcoBoost Raptor. Be like, I can be loud. Like that. I'm an EcoBoost Raptor all the way.
I am eager to drive the EcoBoost Raptor now that they've, you know, GTR-ified the exhaust and all that stuff. But the Raptor R, man, I mean, I had 900 pounds of quad in the bed.
Right? Yeah, you did.
And I'm fully dressed with fluids, like a fucking car, like 200 pounds, give or take.
No, you're not.
I'm approaching it with a full outfit on.
We're throwing my weight numbers out all of a sudden.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
You work out so much more than I do.
That, if only that was the dictating factor behind.
We'll go with the muscle weighs more than fat. That'll be our argument now.
Sure. So anyways, 900 pounds of quad, 185 of me, plus probably 200 pounds of other shit. Like the payload of the Raptor is 1,400. So it's like kind of getting,
you're like right at it.
Another person or two and you're passing payload. And you can see in the pictures, I mean, it was not, the suspension wasn't totally happy with the quad in the back. It definitely had some sag and the nose was definitely perched up a little bit, which in a couple steep uphill circumstances made the front end slightly twitchy, but like that's physics.
Is that like a little light?
Yeah, just the steering got a little, like inputs didn't necessarily feel like they corresponded to what was happening as much.
Absolutely.
But that's physics.
That's how that works.
I will say in sport damper mode, it cared way less about the weight in the back than if I left it in normal damper mode. I will also say that the Baja exhaust mode is, it's fuck you loud. It's like,
yeah, it's really loud.
It's a GT 500, you know, it's like,
yeah,
it's just bellows. And it, like, I recommend using the other three modes, not Baja mode. Like it's not for me. And maybe that's just me showing my age, but,
you're aging into it, bud. I get it.
Yeah, right. But in terms of just all-encompassing experience, like, it doesn't get better, you know?
Right.
The ride quality is so good, especially...
So good.
Most trucks with almost 1,000 pounds of shit in the bed would ride terribly, or they'd... Going over... Like the expansion joints between a bridge and the road, you know, the highway as it leads to the bridge and comes off the bridge. A lot of times, if you have the weight in the back of the truck like that, it kind of unsettles the chassis a little and it causes the front and the back to do different things and it causes the back to bounce or, you know, bottom out or something that's less than ideal.
And that's why bump stops exist.
That's why bump stops exist. But the Raptor didn't get anywhere near that. It just...
Awesome.
Regardless of anything, it just like one movement and kept going. We hit a couple large, not jumps, but like what would be jumps if I had been going 40 miles per hour faster.
Okay.
And it just like truck went up, suspension went down, and then the two came together and it was like landing on a fucking marshmallow, you know?
Awesome.
But God, what, man? Ugh.
The part that gets me is like that exact experience, but like for an American made pickup truck, there's not a lot of noise in the cab either. Like there's not a lot of rattles or creaks or groans for something that is literally getting the shit shaken out of it.
Well,
half the time, like it's been a long time since I've been in like a 15-year-old Raptor or something like that. Like maybe that's the case now, but like,
right.
These new trucks are just so good.
Oh man.
Wish I could afford them.
That's the problem. You know, we talk all the time about how in a lot of people's lives, trucks are taking the place of luxury cars. And like,
yeah,
it's the thing is that it's as comfortable as a big luxury sedan, you know, minus maybe like an S class or, you know, like an LS or something with like
a roller.
Yeah, or like with car seating position where you're not, you know, where you're more relaxed. So it's 90% as comfortable. It can tow a bunch. It can carry a bunch. It's got all the technology that you could imagine, you know, like the one thing it didn't have though weirdly was it didn't have heads up display, which I was kind of surprised by. But you know, automatic headlights and panoramic sunroof and huge screens and wireless CarPlay and charging stuff and all that stuff. And like, I got, I think just shy of 14 miles per gallon, you know, driving
with a supercharged V8. Oh my gosh.
driving a 700 and something horsepower, 60 something 100-pound truck, like it's a truck that's run Baja, you know?
Yeah.
And like it was just flawless.
It's great.
It was so good. Yeah. I had a couple of people actually like stop me in gas stations to ask about them. And I had to do the whole, like, it's not mine. They're like, oh, but why don't you own one? I'm like, the only reason I don't own one is because I can't afford one.
I still have to have a place for my children to live.
Yeah. But God damn, man, this is like, there's been conversations about this being peak automotive enthusiasm era. Like, it's not going to get better than this, you know? Like, we thought 10 years ago the 6.2 Raptor was
pretty great.
It was pretty fucking great when that thing came out, man. And, like, I'm sure there will be something that comes out that one-ups this. But it is...
It's going to have to be something that like does a flip on its own. Like there's nothing that not Tanner Faust and a Hot Wheels stunt, but like just regular Raptor owners start doing flips.
And the whole thing was, I mean, the quad that Polaris has been letting me test is the Raptor R equivalent, you know, it's
okay.
55 inch. Like it's got the same caliber of suspension. And it can carry that same kind of speed without any of the impacts transmitting up through the suspension or the chassis or the frame or, you know, the handlebars. And like the two of those combined, like I had 6+ hours of a drive each way to think about things. And on the way home, I was trying to think of a better truck quad combo in 2023, and there isn't one. Like, this is it, you know?
I thought you were going to say your 2500 Rebel Power Wagon, or 2500 Rebel with the Cummins in it.
Yeah, that was... That was a
because your suspension wouldn't be tasked anymore.
Oh, that truck wouldn't give two shits about this quad. Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, yeah.
I was like, look at this gorilla carry this flea. Like, that's where my analogy
pretty,
went.
Pretty much. And like, I don't know, maybe if they like Raptorify a Tremor or something, it would compete. But like, you know, this is like, it's the equivalent of like the guy towing his GT3 with a Cayenne turbo, you know, right. Like that's where this whole thing is. And it's just, dude, we're just at a point with these things where the level of capability is just like, it's just way beyond what anybody ever needs. And that just makes it so much more fun because you can do so much more without, like in the instance of the quad, without physical fatigue, and in the instance of the truck without, I mean, you just did a big road trip. You know, like if you had been driving something 10 years older, you would have been more tired when you got where you were driving, you know? And
100%. I've done that trip numerous times in a varying age of vehicles. And the time I did it in the 80 series was the most tired I've ever been by the time I got to that location too. The Suburban, it's like cruise control and not only that, but like my kids are all of an age now where everything is entertained. So like as long as nobody has to pee immediately, like I would say it's the fastest out and back we've ever gone with all four kids. And it was, other than like we hit a ridiculous thunderstorm in Eastern Colorado where, you know how you drive into a zip code and you get that county's like weather alerts, tornado warning text.
Nice.
On I-70 as I'm watching the black go by me. I was like, you know what? Let's go ahead and keep an eye on that. If that seems like it's coming this way, when you start finding
we had a couple tornado watches when we were down in Jersey.
Yeah, that's so wild. Like, you guys are getting those now.
Where am I going to go? There's nowhere to go.
Beach. Just go out in the water. It's a sweet water spout ride.
Dude, water spouts are among the coolest things that happen on this planet.
Dude, they're amazing because they don't do damage.
Tell that to the fish. But that, like, 99% of the people who own a Raptor aren't going to do anything off-roady with it. But, like, for the people that do have it, it's just so competent and plush and good and everything that it was designed to do, like the road trip, it just takes the exhaustion out of it because
you didn't feel anything.
No,
it was like, perfect. Like
super comfortable, you know, you can maintain crazy speeds without it even thinking, you know, and like on big long uphills, like one of the things you don't think about too is on long inclines, like if you're in the mentality of driving, if you're in a slow vehicle, you have to like ramp up to it, like get your speed, have the vehicle downshift, and then try to maintain your speed. And then this thing, you just like another 16th of an inch.
Yeah. You know? And it's forced induction, so you don't have to worry about air density or any of that. Like,
yeah. The supercharger also kind of sounds like an old, like Rotrex. It's got that like really minimal, it almost sounds like intake whine, but you can just make out that it's blower. It's so good.
God. Yeah.
Yeah, sad to see that thing go. So.
Yeah, obviously I drove it at the Road America with Robbie and those guys. If it was sitting and no one was touching it, I made sure I got in it again, which is probably why I didn't drive this brand new Subaru Crosstrek, because I definitely took another trip in the Raptor R.
Oh no, not the Crosstrek. Yeah.
I made that sound like I drove it like 15 laps. I drove it twice. Like, and then I rode in at one time with Zach while he's doing his video. So
Raptor R Crosstrek.
It's brand new. It would have been good for SEO. Like it would have been Raptor R is doing pretty good on SEO.
I love Subaru. I love the Crosstrek. I can tell you everything there is to know about how the Crosstrek drives without actually driving the Crosstrek.
Yeah.
Last quick update. Yeah. It has been too fucking hot to do anything with the Lexus other than look at it and drive it a couple times. So the white knuckle sliders and the scan gauge will go in once being outside doesn't make my asthma
try the surface to kill of me. The sun. Yeah. The surface of the sun. Yeah.
Yeah. Pro tip. Don't get asthma if, well, it's not really a choice, but don't, yeah, yep. Just don't asthma. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't asthma.
Don't asthma.
You don't asthma from poor air quality, and I won't asthma from 10,000 feet of elevation.
And both of us can try to not asthma from tornadoes. How about that?
Exactly. Yeah. Oh. I did tell somebody in Colorado, somehow the topic of tornadoes came up, and I was like, yeah, when I was a kid, I went to the University of Kansas basketball camp, which was like a sleepaway camp when you're like fourth, fifth, sixth grade. And it's only for a week, right? Or it's like 4 days, really. It's like a Monday to a Thursday.
Yeah.
But there was a kid, because KU's a pretty big basketball brand, he had flown in from the East Coast to go to basketball camp there. And I don't know if he's New Jersey, New York or whatever, but they would drive us on the buses from the dorms to these schools where we'd work out. And we went by a field and he's like, what is that? And it was just this was back before wind turbines were wind turbines. It was just a windmill in a field that just spins little, and like, it pumps water out of ground. Yeah. Many blades.
Yep.
And the kid was like, what's that? Looks and we like were like, oh, that's pool. How we, yeah. He said, what's that? And somebody, it was not me, but somebody goes, oh, that's how we keep tornadoes away. And the look on this kid's face was like, there aren't enough of those here. How are we going to keep the tornadoes? Like, oh my God, guys.
Oh man. Yeah, it's like
the early 90s were an interesting time.
That's fucking funny. Then he saw Twister and was like, oh, these
they lied.
Yeah, he got me. That is good, man.
Well, sweet. I'm gonna wrap up the show.
Yep.
You can rate and review wherever you listen to a podcast. You can like and subscribe on YouTube. We're live. I saw Joel in the comments. What's up, Joel?
Hi, Joel.
Hope you're having a good day.
Catch you back. Good Wednesday.
Yeah, because he's so far ahead of us.
Oh man, Joel, do we have tornadoes? Are there tornadoes in Australia? Is that a thing?
I don't know. We'll have to look that up now.
I'll have to look that up.
You can follow Hooniverse. Yeah, he is. The Hooniverse on Twitter, the real Hooniverse on Instagram. Ross is not like the one from Friends, and I'm at Overlane Dad. And we did a show. Thank you guys for joining us and watching.